from any disruptions, and most of the time technical problems lead us to having worsening on-time performance. The number of passengers also that are being transported has continued to decline. Revenue from passengers has also declined, and overall the performance has just been declining because of the aircraft availability and the aircraft reliability. So you see, when you compare the performance over a number of years, on-time performance, which was very good, it was 87%. In terms of AXA, they only need 84%. And so we were even above what the requirement from AXA is. But over the years, it has continued to decline. And now in 2016-17, it was sitting at 81%. And further on, the years that followed, it even got worse. Number of passengers flown has also declined. Most of the passengers, we can't carry them. There's high demand for our services, but because we don't have the aircraft, the number of passengers that we're carrying over the years has continued to decline. If you look at the total revenue from passengers over the years, it increased in 2013-14 and slightly 14-15 because we tried to cover up the decline in passenger numbers by increasing the average fare slightly. We managed to do that, but the following years that followed, because of the poor performance, we couldn't sustain those high prices, so we had to continue decreasing, especially if we are a business passenger carrier. 65% of our passengers are business travelers, so they want to get on time wherever they're going. It's business travelers, yes. So they want to get on time wherever they are going. If they are going to Bloemfontein, to court, they want to be there on time. So now if our on-time performance is poor, then we lose our passengers. They go to other airlines. And so to address the challenges, there were four areas that we're looking at. We're looking at strengthening leadership. We're looking at improving governance. And then main one, operations and financials. Those are the challenges that we are facing. Most of the critical positions are not filled. As employees leave, we are unable to recruit because of the salaries that we're offering, and we're not able to retain the staff that we have. So most of the staff are leaving. And in terms of leadership, there's lack of accountability that we need to focus on to make sure that there is consequence management, and people take responsibility for the actions that they are involved in. So in terms of addressing that, we need to fill the critical positions, at least to make sure that the airline is able to function optimally. We need to carry out succession planning and also to establish cost-based management. In terms of governance, there's a lack of adherence to processes, lack of adherence to internal control, and we also need to look at the fragmented policies and procedures to make sure that it is clear what all the employees are expected to do and that they comply with those policies and procedures. So in terms of action, we need to, again, it's consequence management, developing an action plan to implement and make sure that all the employees comply and carry out what they're expected to do. And also we need to restructure and make sure that the structure is aligned to the strategy that the airline is trying to fulfill. And then from operations side, we need to return the aircraft back to service, make sure that our aircraft are reliable. If they're available in the day, we make sure that they are able to carry out their service throughout the day. We need to improve our on-time performance and then also address the flight cancellations by making sure that we have enough spares and we're able to fix our aircraft. That way we're able to reduce the flight cancellations. And as a result of that, this will lead to better liquidity. It will strengthen our balance sheet and our performance, financial performance will improve going forward. And then way forward, the banks are not committed to provide any support. They've carried us for a number of years trying to make sure that we continue operating by giving us loans based on the guarantees that we get from government. But the banks have also realized that we can't rely on just loans. We need to be recapitalized. So they've made it clear that without a clear turnaround plan and confirmed support from government for recapitalization, they will not give us any more loans. And then going forward, it is very urgent that we need to be recapitalized. And then once funded, then we make sure that we pay the loans that we have with the banks. We finalize the going concern assessment and we finalize the 2016-17 annual financial statements. And then we need to leverage on the improved relationship with the AG. Over the last few years, we've tried to improve our relationship, making sure that we understand each other, we understand where they're coming from, and they also understand where they're coming from. The relationship is quite good at this point. And then also we need to achieve organizational renewal, ensure that there is conflict management, zero tolerance for wrongdoing, improve the quality of our service, ensure that there is value for money in whatever contract that we enter into, improve our safety records and maintain and enhance our safety record and compliance, and ensure that there is high performance culture and discipline within the company. So that is our presentation.
Thank you very much. We did not get your name properly.
I'm Edwin Besser. I'm the GM in the CEO's office.
GM?
Yes, that's right. General manager. General manager.
Any additions? CFO? Any addition of that?
We've had quite a number of meetings with the banks where at some stage the shoulder will be in, and some along the line the banks would want to see the management of the company alone. And to be quite honest, the RMB, though it is the most exposed bank with regards to the liabilities to the company, they have to a point shown interest in making sure that the company thrives. But to Edwin's point, is that they are saying because there's no there's lack of support that they are seeing from the government, that their hands are tied. So as a result, they have jumped on the bandwagon of NetBank to say if you defer the loans, we're going to charge interest. So I'm not too sure if by so doing, they are trying to say to the shareholder, hey, you are going to bleed should you not recapitalize. And the unfortunate part is that our fleet is aging. We have three types of fleet. It's the CRJ200s, which are 50-seaters, it's not short range. CRJ700s, which are long range. And the 74-seaters, and then the Q400s, which are the propellers, and those are from, nine of them are from RMB, and one is from Nordic Aviation Company in Ireland. So those aeroplanes, seven of our aeroplanes are on the ground, two have gone beyond economic repair. So one of them was our own aeroplane, which had a bad strike on both engines, but we got an insurance payout back in 2015 or 16 of $21 million. And then the second aeroplane is a CRJ200 also, that is leased from the Royal Scot Leasing Company in England. That aeroplane has been robbed of its path to beyond economic repair. So the 20 aeroplanes that we are sitting with, we've got five that are now on the ground. Now what we need to realize is we have three aeroplanes that are owned by the airline. The balance is dry leases where you pay a certain amount of money per month for leasing that aeroplane. So for us to have aeroplanes on the ground doesn't help the airline because, one, you incur the expenses no matter what. You have to pay that lease because it's a fixed cost. You have to. Number two, you are not getting revenue from that aeroplane. So, as I say, it's more of a funnel. Things are just going pear shape. The liabilities grow, but the revenue is dwindling. And in bleeding that in bleeding that liability, you just throw in what you can, so that the supplier doesn't make too much noise in your ear. But now, what RMB has shown, to the statement that I said, they are showing some kind of support. We have two of their aeroplanes on the ground. One doesn't have engines because they are in Singapore for repairs. Those engines have been repaired, but because of liquidity, we cannot be in a position to pay for those aeroplanes, for those engines. So RMB has made has given us an option to say, if we help, would it be okay to get those engines so that your aeroplanes, our aeroplanes, can start flying so that you can start making revenue, because they have just vested interest in the company. But so those are things that we need to look at and say, yes, we can do that. But now, again, just to go back to maintenance reserves, the foreign lessors see African countries' airline owners or lessees to be quite risky to lease aircraft without charging a maintenance reserve. A maintenance reserve is the same as, you know, the maintenance plan on the car. When you buy your car, you pay maintenance plan in advance. So that's what they are doing on a monthly basis. We give them utilization of the engines, there are parts that are covered by the maintenance plan, maintenance reserves. So we give them the utilization on those. Then they bill us on the hours flown, and it's based on hours on those components. But for European countries, they don't do that because they are cash flush in any event. So RMB, being a South African company, didn't follow the same route as the foreign lessors, airline lessors. They just said, all you can do is to cover our engines. You pay the flight maintenance plan to this company, the Pratt & Whitney in Canada, that would say, the engine is done, we are going to repair this, and then, you know, we pay that on a monthly basis. But the contract has since come to an end, so we couldn't really go ahead with that. Hence, RMB said, we can assist in getting those engines back. One aeroplane will be off the ground, then we can get the components for the other aeroplane so that it can also be off the ground and can start making money. And one of the things for us to cover our schedule, because we are running on a 14 plus one aeroplane schedule, which of course passengers will see and the travel agents will see that schedule on their systems. They will book the passengers on that system based on the 14 aeroplanes. But now, because of unreliability of our aircraft, you'll be flying 10, 11, on a good day, 12. So you have this spiral of cancellations and making passengers angry. They go to the other airlines. And for us to meet the schedule, we said, let's go in for charters. But now the charters are too edged sort, whereby you they bring the revenue, but you still pay for their services, while you still pay for the services of the aeroplanes that are on the ground. So if you net-net, you look at the two, the revenue made by the charters and the expenses for the charters and the expenses of the aeroplanes that are on the ground that the charters are covering the schedule for comes to a and exorbitant loss. So we were saying the chartering cannot really be sustainable, even though chartering is an industry norm, but it's an intermittent kind of action whereby I have my 14 aeroplanes, but the say Department of Health wants to charter an aircraft to go to Bloemfontein. Then you go to a charter company, you go 50-50 split, the expenses are there. But with us, we've taken the charters and made them our own aeroplanes, if I were to put it that way, but it's a very costly exercise. So all we are saying as an airline, we need the support in terms of capital injection, because our aeroplanes are an old fleet. We are having CRJ200s that are 15, 16 years. Some of them are 20 years, and they are getting into midlife cycle, which is about 40,000 hours. So what that means is that for as long as we punish these aeroplanes to fly, the maintenance on them becomes very frequent and very expensive. So you may find that you will need a landing gear, a nose landing gear at $50,000 to repair it, because to buy a landing gear is close to $500. Then you get both the left and right landing gears giving up. You get all the components, and now once it's gone above that stage, you need to do structural check as well to just undo the whole aeroplane, the fuselage, and start doing the wiring and all that, so it becomes too expensive for the airline. So the appeal for us to have these issues go away or be controlled would be to get a capital injection for the airline to be in a position to get back to profitability.
Thank you, CFO. STDG Chief, would you like to next say something?
Okay, this one is fine. Thank you. So what your person I'm trying to allude is to say, Chairperson, although I'm not sure whether it will be verbatim, word for word exactly how I said it, but I'll put there. All right, thank you, Chairperson. I think from the department, two things in the main which we really wish to raise is that as a department, we looked into the Auditor General's reports, the concerns that the Auditor General has actually raised regarding the airline. And we've also looked into what other sister departments actually are raising in as far as the challenges within SA Express, particularly National Treasury, because we're working together in terms of assisting the airline to actually get to a more profitable space. instead of just giving them what we call guarantees or bailouts, we looked at what better options are there to bring this airline into an operable state whereby we reduce all the inefficiencies within it. However, Chairperson, it is our understanding that based on the challenges that started actually showing within the business from 2009, 2010, and 2011, there's not been an effective oversight or government agent response on the challenges that were showing up. It means when problems started showing up, it was always believed that this thing will turn around. And as a result, we started putting more focus on it while we realized that things were actually have went wrong for far too long. So as a result, we have seen the company trying to correct the injustices of the past in terms of correcting the errors that were there, the contracts that were entered into which were not really assisting the company to be sustainable. And while they are trying to correct all those issues that the Auditor General, the Department and National Treasury have actually raised, we've realized that the company desperately is in need of capital injection. As a result, you could see about the number of incidents that they are having which can be resolved only when they get the capital injection. In as far as the governance issues, the company came very clear in the presentation, Chairperson. It was clearly stated out that they are aware of the challenges that were there, particularly in leadership, in the governance processes, including the procurement and the financial and the operational. And currently, while we're trying to really stabilize the airline, we realize that the airline is in serious need of capital injection. And in this case, Chairperson, it's not guarantees. Is cash injection. For as much as I remember the establishment of this airline, Chairperson, it has never actually received any capital injection. So as a result, it has been operating on the basis of guarantees from one to the other. And some of those guarantees, I admit, Chairperson, were not used adequately to address the needs that were there. So as a result, it's very difficult today to request money to go to an airline that has never used its previous extended loans to it effectively. So those in the main are the biggest concerns. But so far, Chairperson, to date as the department, we are in a position whereby we're saying the airline requires capital injection. We're working with National Treasury to really get to resolve the capital injection challenges that they have. But in the main is all the operational challenges are still there. I think honorable members have raised the number of incidents, the delays that they actually experience with the airline, and this is mainly in the main, the maintenance issues that their fleet is under. So, Chairperson, from our side, we're simply saying that they couldn't submit their financial statements because the company is not a going concern, and two, the challenges that they have, we believe that it could be resolved as soon as they get a capital injection. I must just mention this one as my parting point, Chair, that the company does not necessarily struggle in as far as the number of passengers are concerned. There are number of passengers are there, so volumes is there for this airline to actually move. The biggest problem is the reliability of the fleet they use, which then compromises everything. If they're supposed to take off and they don't, and they delay further, then the customer ends up thinking that let me rather find an alternative. This airline has played a very critical role in the main connecting those rural towns to the economic hub. So it has that economic and developmental mandate that it has to execute. But in the absence of it having adequate fleet that can operate their schedule, it compromises even that developmental agenda. It ends up being a cost or a burden to the economy. And we're simply presenting or putting before you, Chairperson, that we believe that when SA Express gets the funding, it will be able then to retain its developmental mandate and not give up routes that this airline can run to the competitor, to the private sector. I'm very much aware, Chairperson, that if we don't capitalize this airline, the private sector will definitely go after the routes that this airline is currently operating. They've attempted not once, not twice, but a couple of times to withdraw this airline from operating those routes. So I tend to believe that if indeed there was no business case for this airline, there would be no need for us to push for capital injection. But the way we see the numbers, the demand that is there, and the hunger of the private sector to get to this airline's route, it clearly justifies that there is indeed a business case that we can follow in supporting this airline going forward, I think. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. There is still a business case to operate this airline. That's the closing input. Thank you very much. I've noted Honorable Nobanda, Honorable Mare, Honorable Ranto. You are welcome, Honorable Singh. Noted.
Thank you, Chairperson. Oh, okay. Thank you, Chair. Mine is on the skills retention. We are talking about that you have a problem of staff leaving. What are you doing about that? Since you have realized Ukuthi people are leaving, what is it that you can change so that you don't have people leaving? Even those that are in, how do we go about sort of promotion from low, something like that. And then the second one is on the bills. You're talking about bills that were not being paid on time. That's why you had this thing. So I'm asking myself if we are going to blame the employees for this kind of thing, what about the management? Because if not from A, I'm supposed to do A, I must give it to my manager who's supposed to approve payment, or that one also gives it to somebody else. Why is the blame only be put on the employee on the ground? What about the middle management and top management? And then on performance of the airline, CEO and CFO were saying, decrease air performance and whatnot is mostly technical. And I was thinking of Honorable Luyenge's speech yesterday on how the flight was going to go down, and this one was thinking of the crash, that he could have said something on his crash and telling Silly Lee to sell the and all that. But we have a airline, this SA Express, from Northwest to Joburg, and it operates only on Monday, Wednesday and Friday. And the flights there, I think there are two. Now I don't use it anymore. I've decided to rather drive from Joburg to Mafikeng every day, every week, every Friday, every Monday. Because you wait for the flight, you take the 7:30 flight, you will sit there and delay it for an hour, and then 8:30 is another delay. Last week Friday, because I did not have a car, I was forced. And then from 6:00, I could not even go and hike. If OR was near the road, I would go and hike. But I was forced to stay there. I stayed from 6:00. I arrived at the airport at 6 a.m. I only left the airport. It was 10:45. And the flight was supposed to be at 8:30. And every time they would say delay, there was a man who was sitting with there, and then he said, once they start saying this delay, we might not even go. So now I'm going to go to Joburg get a taxi to Mafiki. And I'm sure he arrived before me because he left there at, what, 7? He left the airport at 7 to go to Joburg to get taxis. And I know for this flight, there's a portion of money that the government is paying, the Northwest government is paying to keep the airline in operation. So if the provincial government is paying a certain portion and SAA is not delivering and then is requesting national government to give them, why should they do such? The last one, Chair, is on the way forward. On the presentation, you're talking about the turnaround plan, consequent management. All these things, I think we've heard them from 2015. Now we came in 2014. But all the time, if there's a crisis at SA Express, there would be a turnaround strategy presentation. Then Ling, there's Auditor General is saying we must correct this. And then on the report, it will say consequent management, we are going to do this, people will be charged. But it's the same thing year in, year out. What is so different now? Why should we believe, Hore, from this way forward that we have written and discussed, why should we believe that there's going to be a change? Why, if I'm in Treasury and I'm reading this, I'm going to ask myself, what's so different now? Because they've always wanted money, but it's the same thing every year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nobanda. I'm inserting. After Honorable Maro, it's going to be Honorable Luyenge, followed by Honorable Singh, and followed by Honorable Ranso. Thank you, in that order, members.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's always the best way to go is to be honest, and the CFO was straight down the line, and we also could see it in the figures, so if he finds it straight down the line, we'll pick it up. The short and the long of the story is the word money. If you don't have the money to keep it afloat, you're actually bankrupt, the short and long of it. If you don't have money to actually have new aircraft or replace what is wrong in the old ones, that you won't be on time, and that impacts, everything impacts to be in the air and on time. Because, I mean, flying, the business is flying. So if you don't get satisfied as a customer that your airline is on time, that's the easiest thing you do, you go to an alternative. And once you get a bad name, that's very, very serious to go back and build up that name of your business again. And we all know there's certain short routes that this airline actually served the best. Let's be honest about it. Because sometimes I use also the flight to Bloemfontein. I would prefer to actually use the flight from Cape Town to the Kruger National Park. But what I'm saying is, if they don't get the capital injection, I don't foresee how they will keep their float. Because the interest rates and the leases would kill them in the long term, if it didn't kill it already now as we sit here. So they're in serious trouble, and I request the chairperson to address this issue with the minister, the new appointed minister, and maybe he have to actually call in Treasury and see the way they can help. They must either now make a final decision. Either they can help or they're going to close the business. That's the two options. We can't go this way or that way. And then there's a disagreement between SAA and themselves and another airline to be reached because they operate sometimes in each one's space, and there must be agreement who serves what routes the best for best profit for South Africa in that line, because sometimes the smaller routes only have like 50 passengers, and there's no need for SAA to serve that route and come in with a big aeroplane that is not cost effective. So that's the point I want to make. And it all impacts, I understand the staff, if you get word in your company that something is wrong financial-wise, if you get the opportunity, you will jump to a different institution as well, because people look after themselves. They want a salary, they want commitment to them, and if the opportunity is there to go to another company, even for the same salary, it's only the certainty is what the problem is. Staff would move if there's not certainty for them that they will have a job in the long run. So it comes back to the balance sheet and the income and expenditure. So that's why my request now, I don't want to go in detail about everything. The CFO spell it out clear. It is serious in the sense, you know, if you can't pay for your engines that's been serviced abroad, so and they must come back. And I understand quite the thing. If you've got a plane, it's like it must deliver production, and production, it must fly. It must get people back and forward to get paid for the tickets, you want income. So that's my request, that the Treasury, together with the Minister, must really sit down. And the decision make will also impact on the other airlines under the umbrella of the government. Thank you.
And that order, member? You?
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chairperson, the previous speaker, in agreeing with the notion that has been presented here by the CFO, I want to concur in saying, Chair, the notion of government investing in an entity like this one is not something that requires us to be philosophical or the bureaucrats to be technical. Here we are talking of an entity which was never, even on inception, it was never provided with new fleet. Everything was just third hand or fourth hand, not even second hand good. I've never seen a second hand good. There is no good second hand. That's how that express was actually established. It's like someone who is buying an old taxi and resign from a mine and go home, buy a second-hand Quantum, and the engine knocks. You are not able to move. You are just there. You are just there because you have a father and a mother. They give you some monies from the grant, and then you start going again. There is no credibility. There's no reliability. You've got completely nothing to be regarded as a business person. It is unfortunate. And we are fortunate that, Chair, SA Express is still in existence in the first place. Honestly, there is no aircraft in that organization. You know, now I came late in this meeting and I'm going in and out. If I'm not doing that, I'm not going home. I'm not sure even if I will be able to go home now. There is no flight to West London. That's where SA Express is. Members and everybody else, business people, they are sitting in a lounge for 7-8 hours. Now, it's something which I believe. I have full confidence in the minister, having read from his attitude towards this. Because he said, he landed to say, all what is going to happen is going to improve the situation, the merger, or the working together of these airlines is just going to address the issue, which I believe we must, maybe as a committee, at your leadership level, Chairperson, I fully support the notion that says, go out of your own way. The whip and yourself, you do a splendid job. No, we are in charge, we are ANC, there must be an ANC component championing this, that it must happen. It can't, you know, one of that passengers, the passenger that was saying, was referring to Silly, that one was saying, it has been a long time that I've been treated like this by SA Express. I'm happy that there is Silly. Silly, please sell this thing out, it is useless. So if
our response as ANC is just to say no, we are also part of this. We have a political responsibility to ensure that this airline remains in this very important business. It is the only that is owned by us. We are one of them. Go.
Indeed, I pardon you, Honorable Luyenge, you arrived a little bit late. We already conveyed to the committee that the minister requested, gave me a call just before we started the meeting, requested the chairperson for a few minutes to release the CEO and the chairperson of the board to attend to such challenges. And after that, they will come back here when they are done with the minister. Because the minister is taking the issues that have been raised very seriously, raised by commuters, including the business people that occupy 65% of this airline. Thank you very much. Let's proceed to Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I'm sorry I was late. I was at the Chief Whip's Forum meeting, so I might have missed, I did miss the presentation, but I went through it. But it's a pleasure to follow the Honorable Sax Luyanga. His new name now is Sax Luyanga. After yesterday, I call him Sax, S-A-X, and then Luyanga.
Sax, the one which is S-A-X.
No. Yeah, please make sure that it's S-A-X.
To our guest, it stands for South African Express. Please.
Yeah, my pronunciation was correct.
Thanks.
No, he spoke very passionately yesterday and I fell for him, although I'm not a user of South African Express. But I must say, I'm glad that the ANC is also putting itself as being responsible for what's happening in South African Express. Because the ruling party has to take responsibility on some of these things. You take credit for a number of things, but you must take responsibility for failures. But I would suggest, Honorable Chairperson, that whenever a meeting is held with the minister, it must be a joint committee, a subcommittee of this committee, to meet with them to see how we can take this forward, rather than being an ANC component. I'm reminded of the time when South African Airways withdrew all flights to Devon, just summarily withdrew. And we were staunch supporters of our own airline. I'm traveling from 1990. But suddenly one morning I had to wake up and they said, no, there's no flights, you must fly British Airways. So we had to fly British Airways. And then we had a meeting. The ANC component, Honorable Luyanga, said they will deal with the matter. And I sat quietly as an observer. I didn't want to say anything. I said, well, if you can deal with it. The chief executive officer at that time of SAA told them to go to H and enjoy the journey and said, we can do nothing unless you parliamentarians give us more money, right, to buy more aircraft. We are not going to reinstate this flight. And from that day to now, there is no flight, South African Airways flight, from a major city like Cape Town to Devon. We fly British Airways. We can't even fly SAF Air and Kulula and Mango because Parliament system that buys our tickets, in fact, we're discussing it now in the Chief Whip's Forum, don't buy tickets through those airlines. So if you want to travel like tonight, I have to travel to Durban. So I'm traveling SAF Air, but I paid my own money to buy a ticket with SAF Air. So these are the challenges we have. But having said that, coming back to South African Express, Chairperson, you know, it's a case of six of one and half a dozen of the other. If we invest money, what assurances are there that there's going to be a return on those investments? We haven't been getting that assurance. And I know I sat in these meetings, you know, for many years, Honorable Ranto. And we're just not getting that comfort. And we can't allow taxpayers' money just to be at risk in the manner that there's almost over R1 billion in guarantees. And can you imagine if those guarantees are called up? First the extended guarantee and then the new guarantee of 567. If those are called up, it's taxpayers' money. So I think this merger of airlines or finding private partners or doing something is going to be the way to go. Because certainly, Honorable Yanga, you're right. the reputation of South African Express has been destroyed. And, you know, people will feel they'd rather drive from East London to Cape Town than get into one of those planes. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. But what I'd like to know is, Chairperson, my question is, how close are we, from a risk point of view, to these guarantees being recalled or cashed in? How close are we to that point where these guarantees can be cashed in? Secondly, in terms of the routes you follow, you've got regional airlines. I don't know if we've ever had a breakdown here of the profitability or non-profitability of each of those routes. Because SAA took away planes from Durban, Cape Town, and put it on a Zimbabwe or some route, African country. Are those routes profitable? So then you can look at which one is profitable, which one is not. And are we still on those lines because of politics or because of business? Does it make business sense, or is it because of political pressure that we want to be part of SADC, we want to be nice, we want to show the rest of Africa that we are the big brothers? And just like with South African Airways, Madam Chair, 10 years ago, South African Airways wanted an additional amount, and then we appropriated over R1 billion in a special appropriation. And I know we were in the bathroom, ANC members, myself and somebody else, and we said we're not going to support this additional appropriation. Trevor Manuel, the minister, walked in there and said, hey, what are you guys cooking up here? And he said to us, he said, please, support this. How can we go into a World Cup that we are hosting without having our own airline? And on that basis, we supported it. But it didn't make business sense for that to happen. And here we're talking about business. Government is business. Profit and loss, input and output. And that's how we have to respect our taxpayers who contribute and work very hard to contribute to the fiscus. I just wonder, the other question is, the you can't talk about another airline, gentlemen and lady. But how is it that Comair is profitable? How is it that Comair, they're buying new aircraft, they're doing all sorts of things, they are a privately owned company, they're running well, good food, good everything. How? What is different? Right. And then lastly, I think you're dealing with the effect of the mergers of the airlines. We need answers, we need a time frame to that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, when first of all, let me say this. Ever since I have been in this committee, since 2014, we now have, I think, 3 or 4 CEOs, if I'm not mistaken. And since the first one that I find here, they needed injections, and we supported those injections. I remember the first year in 2014 when the EFF was debating on our budget votes. They said, you get the injection, you are still going to eat it. That's how they responded to us as people who agreed on the injection. We know for a fact, it's unfortunate that I have to divulge this in this meeting. We know for the fact that our CEOs went out of their way to take money out of the of this of this airline and left the airline empty. And none of the CEOs that have done that have brought into books. They are out there enjoying the money of the state, the money of the people of South Africa, our own tax money. They are enjoying it somewhere, wherever they are now employed at. In one of the debates yesterday, that was Mr. Swart that was debating, he said, these people that we know and are found to have done wrong, they must be made a, what delinquency, whatever delinquency that he spoke about. We know that.
quiet. We are quiet. And this keeps on going on. The misuse of government resources has been going on for a long time. I said no to Mr. Luyenge when he said even the whip of the ANC must go with you, Chairperson, to go and speak to the minister. I said no, because I have been speaking to the ministers. I once was in a meeting with Honorable the current Minister of Finance in one meeting when he was rejecting a call from the former chairperson of the board of SAA, Ms. Lien, rejecting completely that I'm not going to buy this aircraft that you want, especially from the company that you want me to buy it from. I'm not going to buy any aircraft. I'm not going to give you any money. And I was like, how, Minister? But you are South African. How do you do that? The former, the current minister, Mr. Nene. Nene, yes, Mr. Nene. Yeah. Before he was dismissed, and then you see, Chairperson, what the honourable members are complaining about. It's a complaint that has been ongoing. I am also now booked from Cape Town to Bloemfontein Friday in the evening, and Monday in the evening, the last flight from Bloemfontein. It's my base airport. That's where when I go home, I go to Bloemfontein and drive to Alwa North. So
when you go to Eastern Cape,
when I go home to Eastern Cape, then Monday I am told that in the system it doesn't show that we have a flight from Bloemfontein to Cape Town on Monday evening, the 22/7/1840 flight. It doesn't show in the system. What happened Monday, this Monday, the day before yesterday, that flight was not there on Monday and on Tuesday. But people who left in the morning on Tuesday, who were supposed to connect Bloemfontein, Joburg, Cape Town, when they arrived at the airport, the flight was there. That is taking off from Bloemfontein to Cape Town. And everybody else has already left via Joburg to come to Cape Town. That flight came with nine passengers from Bloemfontein to Cape Town. It's 2 hours from Bloemfontein to Cape Town. Nine passengers. That flight, there's a flight that went from Bloemfontein early in the morning at 6 o'clock to East London to take some passengers at 8:15 or 9:15 from East London to Cape Town. One member said to me, "Awuzosenza lonto Zukiswa. Usinike iflight." The other member thinks that I am part of the people who are dispatching flights to them. You're not going to do that to us, giving us a flight. They call it Iphela. Do you know Iphela? You know Iphela, and it's those cars that are driving around with taxis in a
blend. Honorable Marais, you know Iphela?
It's cockroach. Those cars that are not, those illegal cars that are driving in our township without taxi licenses, ne? Those cars are called cockroaches. Yeah, because they are getting in between, like, yeah. So you can't give us Sukiswa Pell to go to Island, from Island to Cape Town. And in the Iphela, the toilet is filthy. There is no spray in the toilet. There is no toilet paper.
Oh,
the flight! Don't give us that. It's a pain, sir. It's a pain because you know the majority of South Africans see me on TV and they think I can change the world. Maybe I speak too much. They think I can change the world. They would come straight to me and say, "See, Maru said, Parliament, Maru. This is
not happening that is supposed to be happening. I am not even sure of the OTP that you spoke about. General Motors, the general manager, the 85% turnaround time. Is it turnaround time that you spoke about? Yeah, to start off. I'm not sure if that 85% has been calculated correctly. And also, I am not sure if you still have airlines, aircraft as SAX. I wish we can have a schedule as a committee to know how many aircraft are SAX, those that belong to SAX, how many are being hired, how many of the hired ones that are still working, how many of SAX1 are under maintenance, and how many of those that are being hired who are on the ground, who are being maintained by SAX, and what revenue are you getting from those people that you hired, the chartered people? How much revenue do you earn as an SAX? Because I take it, Chairperson, you know, I was once a teacher, and during our times we were known as people who do not have money, because our cards, our bank cards, were in Mashonisa. And then, kwa Mashonisa, your card...
Loan shark, Ms. Marie.
Mashonisa is a loan shark. Huh? Yes. The loan shark will keep your card. You did not pay 500 rand in this month. Then you go to Mashonisa, you go and apply for a 500 rand. That 500 rand, at the end of the month, it's 650 when you return it. Therefore, you are not going to have a 650 next month. This month, you did not have 500 rand. Next month, you are not going to have a 650. Then you borrow a 650 because you have a shortage of 650 rand. Then next month, out of that 650, you don't have a 650 plus an interest of a 650, which will amount to 800 and something money that you have. You see, that's what I'm calculating. When you borrow your aircraft somewhere, then you inject money to that company, including maintenance, including everything else that you signed for in that company. Then next month, what do you have? Nothing. Why can't we? I'm just an ordinary MP. The suggestion that I am going to make now might not make sense, Wabon, because I'm not an accountant. Why can't we maintain what we have, ne? And open routes that we think will bring us money, and close the routes that are not making profit, ne? Up to a certain extent, and tell your passengers, tell your regular passengers that the route to Bloemfontein in the morning or in the afternoon, it's not going to, we are not going to have that route for 6 months or for 8 months. After that, after we have collected and we have maintained our and we have money, a money that we can go to the treasury and say, the treasury, we have 500 million, but the aircraft we are looking for will cost us 1.2 billion, but we've got this. We can put this in your account, and then you just add on it. You buy for us the aircraft. That will take us 50 years in not maintaining it, or 20 years not maintaining it, but using it, and it brings profit back to the company. Such things. Why can't we do such things? Because to me, to repair something that is not yours, it's like renting a house and keep on making renovations in the house that is not yours, instead of going all out and buy yourself a house which you will maintain, and you maintain a house that you've got investment in. That investment is going to be a return for you. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like above being in.
Not a teacher.
I'm thinking like that, like a layman on the ground, and also like an old lady, because I'm already old, you see. That's one of the things that makes me to think like that. The workers in the company, like, you see, in Bloemfontein, when I get in, there's somebody who will check me in while I'm getting in the door. He will just look at the system and see that, I mean, and he will say, Mamuranjo, this side, Mamuranjo, what do I say to my family? Am I still going to have a job next week? Do I need to buy, to continue with the school where my child is, or by next week or two months down the line, that child will be dismissed in that school? That's the situation your people are in. It's a bad situation. It's really a bad situation. One of them said he does no more have a, he does not want a funeral cover anymore because he's not sure if all the money that he puts in the funeral cover, will he recover, will his family recover it when he is dead? So he is now banking the money for just for him to get buried. It's bad. The minister yesterday in the budget vote, he said no to capital injection. But the chairperson, our chairperson has got a very beautiful voice. And she is not like me. She's not a loudspeaker like me. She speaks very soft. I think she will make inroads in to the minister when she speaks to the minister. But she said no. He said no. I'm used to a she minister. So he said no. You will use what you have. It goes back to what I said when my card was in the Machonisa, in the loan shark. I was supposed to use what I have and see if going towards the end of the month, I will be able to still have the 500 rand and something on top of it. He said no, but I agree with my colleagues that somebody with a soft heart and a soft voice, like our chair, she is really the best person to speak to them. Because the minister has developed an untrustworthy, if I may say so, an untrustworthy mind towards the workers, especially the senior people of the entities. And it is them that made him to be like that. So please, if we win, chairperson, that the minister will go to the treasury and speak to the treasury, and then the injection is being put in. We therefore have to get a report every second week from the entity. Because if we leave it for a quarter, we might not find the CEO. Because it's easy for a person to leave. You just take the next flight and nobody knows where you are. You take British Airways, where they're not going to track you down. So we need to do that. I agree with my colleagues that we need to speak to the minister for the last time. You spoke about the RNB. I hope it's not a show or a singing person. The R&B, are they not in a mission? Do you interact with them every now and again? Are they not in a mission of taking over the company? Are they not in... Because, no, I don't want you to... When you start looking up, the company is already not in your hands. What are the procedures or strategies that are in place that you think will be the best for them not to take over the company in a very gentleman way? Because they're not taking it roughly. They will take it in a gentleman way. I can hear from your presentation that it looks like you've got a heart
for RMB and you think that you will work much easier with them?
RMB.
What? RMB?
Merchant Bank.
Okay, I think I thought it's RMB. RMB, the rapping and whatever.
Rand Merchant Bank.
Rand RMB. Thank you. Yeah, it's a move. Thank you, Chairperson.
Dan, you're welcome. Honorable members, I don't know what is happening with the members today. Maybe are the effects of the budget debate. Yes. Yesterday's budget. I don't know what the minister gave you after the budget speech. Because now I didn't receive any invitation. I'm not sure whether the other three members were invited somewhere. They were given a special drink. Because it started with Honorable Luyeng. He is putting me into trouble with the taxi industry. He brought the quantums here. Quantums belong to the Transport Portfolio Committee. There comes Mr. Singh. He interjects Honorable Ranto by saying, no, teachers, I don't want to repeat what he said about teachers. And that is going to anger teachers' union. And they are putting me into trouble. And this is not basic education, a portfolio committee, be it basic or higher education. So I have no skills to deal with the teachers' union. Please,
stay away.
Stay away. Don't invite trouble. Don't invite trouble for me. Here comes Honorable Ranch. He tells us, the teacher, I'm an old age. Now, this is not an old age home. And neither the, excuse me. Neither the Social Development Portfolio Committee, please. I don't wish to be the chair of Social Development Committee. On a serious note, that was a lighter note. Honorable members, thank you very much. Honorable members, I've already met with the minister on the issue of cash injection for SA Express. And the minister understands the situation, as the acting DDG has alluded to that. He's working on it. But, a big but from the minister was saying, Chairperson, I hear you. I'm going to do something about it. I'm aware of it. But I need to get a report from the Auditor General first. When he says that, it was not that he's going to fold his arm not doing anything. But he's very eager, awaiting for the sign of Auditor General's report. I'm disappointed that today you are reporting that you have this report has not been signed off. I so wish that when the report has been signed off, submitted to the minister, the office of the chairperson will receive that Auditor General's signed off report. But the indication that are shown on your presentation and your additions on the presentation, the picture is not that good. It points out to what the AG might say, looking at the history of the company on irregular and fraudulent expenditure. In the manner that you are presenting how you are functioning even on the year under review, you have functioned on the year under review and still operating in that line, if I may say. But the question is, I heard you very well when you indicated that you are taking a civil or criminal. You instituting civil or criminal charges against the perpetrators. because this has been going on for a long time, we would like to get a report at some stage on who are you pursuing those charges to? Are there any CEOs? And if there are there, how many? Are there any CFOs? Which are there, how many? And where is the case? How is the case, the cases are progressing? And it's unfortunate that we are beginning to the discussion without the chairperson of the board, as I indicated here, to step out, and the CEO. It's an indication that for them not being back by now from the minister's office, it's an indication that how serious are the issues that the minister has to deal with the chairperson of the board and the CEO in relation to what is happening at the SA Express. So I pardon the for them not being back here at the moment. I think the issues are bigger than what we are dealing with here now. But having said that, I wanted the chairperson to tell the committee where was the board when all these shenanigans were taking place at the SA Express. I'm not sure how long the current chairperson has been in the board. Can I just get that indication? 3 years. And then the chairperson who is responsible for risk and audit and risk management.
They were all appointed in 2015 May. So,
in
this
fact, why am I at that point of the chairperson of the audit and the risk committee within the board? I'm disappointed that she did not make it to this meeting. I understand that the entire board, it might be costly for the entire board to come before the committee. But at least with the situation that is going on within the airline of South African Express, I would have expected the chair of the board, which he is here in Parliament, and the chairperson of the Audit and Risk Management Subcommittee of the Board. In fact, we convey the message from the office of the chairperson that if the board, the entire, we wish the entire board to come, but if it's not practical, possible financially, we would like at least the chairperson to come with the chairperson of the subcommittee or subcommittee on audit and risk management committee. And I did check with the chairperson when I was releasing them to step out that where is the chair of the audit and risk management subcommittee. And the chair says she indicated that she's not available to come. We note that with disappointment, because at least two entities where we had challenges with, starting with ESCOM, coming to Transnet, they were able to bring to the committee the chairpersons of subcommittees, both subcommittees on audit and risk management committee. Would have liked the same with this entity because of the challenges that the airline is faced with. least risk has been going on for financial year after financial year. Where was the risk, the mitigation of the risk? Why these risks that are the cause of these challenges that are escalating very soon to become crisis? The monitoring and evaluation within the board. Was it taking place? And what were the outcomes of those evaluation and monitoring of the procurement processes, of the operational processes? And how did we get where we are now? Where we are in a verge of having the entire fleet grounded. You indicated that two are grounded, if I heard you correctly. Two aircraft, two of the fleets are grounded. And seven are on the ground. Out of the seven on the ground, three you own, the three. And two, I think, is the one that you hire them and you get revenue. And you are not getting revenue because it's a fixed cost. You see, what is happening with the airline? It's like you are borrowing from Paul to pay Peter situation. That's why you are not making any revenue. And then that's why that the problem is not being solved. It's occurring on a daily basis, if I may exaggerate maybe a little bit. I hope I'm not exaggerating. And also the consequence management. Where was the consequence management from other management personnel that are at the operational center of the duties at the airline? Because certain heads must roll. And I would like to get a feedback from the board. What is it that they have done in terms of making sure that the consequence management tool is being used against those that are not performing their duties as they are expected to by the Company Act and by the PFMA and with the amendment from the National Treasury regulation. Amendment by the regulations that come from the National Treasury. And do you have systems in place to deal with the procurement processes as they are outlined by the FMA, as I indicated with the amended regulations by the National Treasury? Because if you create system to the latter and they are in place and functioning and being monitored on a daily basis, because I want to believe that you have qualified people. I heard that you are unable to retain capable staff members because of your pay cap. That you offer your salary package. Withstanding that, I want to believe that the industry has certain people that are qualified. And usually the CFOs are not people who are usually at the level of CA. So also in such a serious company. And that profession, you don't work alone. You work with other people with the accounting degrees, blah, blah, blah. Engineering. I want to believe that you have capable, you do have still capable personnel. Where were the executive as the organizational or company leadership monitoring tools and evaluation time to time? If this strategy is not working, you evaluate whether this strategy is still working or not. And you devise means and ways of improving such a strategy. And in this airline, we are not getting that very clear. As the committee has requested and directed the chair, I will still meet with the minister, to make a follow-up meeting. But the challenge is that we must get value for money. If we ask for capital injection from the National Treasury, we should get a guarantee that we are not reinforcing maladministration and fraud for corruption to that extent by plowing that money into the company. Because as we sit here, we haven't received a report of a person that has been at least in court. We are just talking about the cases being opened, but no one has been in court over the years. That's a worrying fact. And when you have a bad name with a financial institution, it's a big problem. Because those are the institutions that can give you guarantees or loan you. And I think the National Treasury also would want to assist in discussing with those institutions. But if you have a bad name, even the Minister of Finance might face with challenges in putting a good name for you. And I want to say to the committee, no, there are no more quarterly meetings for this portfolio committee up to the end of the financial year. It's either if it needs to be monthly or bi-monthly, no quarter. We can't wait for a quarter to have an entity to come before us when there are so much challenges going on. You'll have to bring us something, because you know the PowerPoints are very good. When you present, yes, it's a good presentation, but in practice, the outcome each and every end of financial year doesn't talk to the good presentation that we have received. And members that have been here and have gone through the documents, it doesn't talk to the good PowerPoint presentation that has been made. And going forward, that honeymoon is over. It's either yourself starting from the board, coming to the executive, you change the way you do business. As the president has directed all departments and entities that involve state entities, like ourselves in the Public Enterprises Committee and the department, or we close business. Because we can't keep on supporting what is intended for, or shall I say, what is supposed to put a people first, but a really principle. But it doesn't have a higher to that. And we can't keep on supporting that. So we would like to get a commitment to the chairperson of the board through you and the CEO, acting DDG for this entity, including this one, that you are given a very last chance to change the way you do business on this airline by this portfolio committee, or you come and tell us nicely that no, we can't continue with this business, because we don't want the private sector to take away business from our hands. We rather ourselves decide. We don't want to be ambushed. It's better if it's ourselves who decide. So give us that, so that we decide ourselves, the minister, and then ourselves, to come to an understanding that this is the situation. But it's not all that this is the end now, but it's just the last chance that you are given. I will go and speak to the minister on behalf of us mandated by the committee. But now, Nani, yourselves, you must meet me halfway by doing what you are expected to do. Now you can respond. Maybe before you respond only, yeah. Let's take a break. It's 10 to 12. Remember, comfort break. Shall we restart at 12? 10 minutes. Thank you very much. 12 minutes break. 10, sorry, 10. But exactly 12 who are seated here will start to restart. Thank you. For now, CFO, I allow that you give them your information and numbers, but you can't respond to them before you respond to the committee. Hmm? Later, then you can proceed with them at the end of the meeting. Thank you. Yeah, everyone's got it.
Why are you taking care of the
One item is just a call, maybe a plea to say express in the light of the suggestion made by Honorable Rando to ask that you consider operating new routes and getting rid of those routes that are not profitable. I wanted to suggest and maybe check if you did ever make a feasibility study on opening an Umtata route. Umtata is within a radius of almost in the middle of 1,000. People who are traveling from anywhere to East London, they travel 500 and 1,000 kilometers to and from Umtata, Mount Elif, Matatie. So that consideration, I think it will be actually feasible enough for the opening of an Umtata route. Umtata and then, Umtata East London, and then Umtata Durban, Umtata Cape Town. All members that are coming from that side, we flock to East London, and it exposes us to a lot of danger because of the constructions that are there. So it's not safe for the travelers, business and everybody else. The place is economically viable, Chair.
That's for noting to consider. Maybe couple that with on your good days on two routes, Bloemfontein and East London. How many passengers? There was an example of 9 passengers due to certain challenges, but average, how many on those routes? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. charge. I just need to address the issue of skills retention within the airline. We have lost quite a number of technicians from the technical department. We've lost a number of people within other functions. And the reason for people doing that is as a result of not knowing whether the airline will be there tomorrow or the airline is going to be there for years to come. So what the people are doing or what the employees are doing, they hedge their risk to say, I don't want to be in this airline when it closes down, so I need to jump ship now. And secondly, when we got the guarantee back in 2015, there were conditions attached to that guarantee that management would not get increases until the airline has been turned around or seen profits being made. That hasn't happened. Yeah, that hasn't happened. And both. So they are mutually inclusive. It's a situation where you can't really put your finger on the pulse, because what you are saying, new recruits that are coming in, they come in, but I guess to a point, they would negotiate the salary, move for a higher salary, but when you get there, you realize that there are no salary increases. So basically, economically, you are going backwards because your inflation. You've got your VAT now at 15%, and so we lose these technicians to the Middle East. We lose them to, some of them have gone to Sam Air, who is it's an airline that is our competitor. It does some of the routes that we do. They fly the similar type of aircraft that you are flying. So we get all these people going there, and you may want to look at it twofold. It's either you have people who remain within the business, who have the passion, one, for the business. Number two, people who believe that this is doable, okay, and who are committed to the cause, and they'll stay the cause. But now, you have people who stay in the business because they have nowhere to go. And those who don't have anywhere to go will be carried by those who say they will stay the course, the business will turn around come what may. So you have a situation where there's no balance of performance within the organization. And I think,
if I can also add, the other thing is that the moratorium only applied to managers, senior managers. It didn't apply to the lower level staff. So what has been happening is the lower level staff are getting salary increments, and now they're catching up with their bosses. So which then with their bosses, yes. So the salaries are almost at the same level. And then the other thing is that the other thing is that also we don't have spares. So most of the time our technicians are just sitting because there's no work. So their profession requires that they work for so many hours. Now without working, it means that they lose their certificate. So to avoid that, they end up going to other airlines. It's similarly with pilots. If they're not utilized up to the certain level of hours that they need, then they become they lose their license. So they end up having to leave.
Thanks, Fred. While we're still on retention and the honorable member has the question that what can be changed, how can you get people to be... Oh, sorry. How can you have the lower level employees trained to fill in where possible what their superiors are doing or supervisors doing? As my colleague has mentioned, that the salary increases end up overtaking the supervisors' salaries. Now, what happens is when you engage with junior staff to say, I would like you to take this position because I can see potential, and for succession planning, this is what we are trying to do as a business, they flatly refuse to say, what's the point? I'm going to be in that position, then I'll be stuck with the salary that I'm given. Those are some of the challenges. Payment of bills on time, that's a struggle that we are faced with on a daily basis. Like we said, that our aircraft availability and reliability is a sore point within the business, whereby you may start with 12 aeroplanes on a given day, you end up with 10 aeroplanes on a day and days to come. So you lose revenue, but you still have your fixed cost to pay for. So as a result of that, you face serious liquidity challenges. And I think I made mention of the fact that as an airline, we tend to say which are the critical suppliers that we need to pay so that the aircraft can be in the sky, and also to ensure that our OTP is improved, because if your OTP is high, your aircraft leave within 15 minutes of the scheduled time, and you have quicker turnarounds or frequent turnarounds. So just to answer that question, it's the type of the money that we bring in, and as when compared to the expenses that we incur, which are higher than the revenue we bring in. This is exemplified when we didn't show the EBITDA. EBITDA is the cash operating profit from any business. So if your EBITDA is negative, then it means you are funding your capital expenditure from your operational revenue or profit. So this is the kind of challenge that you are faced with at FAA Express, whereby we experience flat EBITDA, cash operating profit, and negative operating profit. The other issue that goes with the payment of bills on time is the interrupted flight. What we are sitting with is when you've got a flight that is cancelled now, and you spend about 3-4 hours without correcting the situation. You have, say this happens in the evening, you have to book the passengers in hotels. You have to shuttle them from the airport to the hotel. You have to provide them with meals. Now you have three expenses that you have incurred that were not part of the revenue that you are going to generate. So you have your three unexpected or unplanned expenses, plus the revenue that you've lost, okay, plus your lease expenses that are fixed costs that you have to take care of. So as a result, your funnel is getting very, very, very thin. At the bottom, you can't bleed it any longer. But in mitigating that payment of bills, like I said earlier on, that we enter into payment plans with suppliers. And the fortunate part is that the relationship we have with our suppliers is quite good. whereby they will say, you know what, we understand, we will go with your payment plan. But if there's anything that you cannot, or if you cannot stick to the plan, let us know so that we can try other means. So that's where we end. You have to talk to the Northwest subsidy. Okay. The Northwest subsidy, okay, for that route. I guess there's been some media reports with regards to this, but from our end, because of the cash crunch that we have, you don't really have specific the money that you say this is going to be for this route. But what happens is because the route was new, so the subsidy, from my understanding, was that this would be the setup cost to start the route. So invariably, whenever you start a business at any given point in time, give or take, your first year becomes loss situation, if not break even. So we entered into this agreement with the Northwest government, but unfortunately, this is where we started having issues with our aeroplanes. So though the Northwest government was giving the money to the airline would fix the aeroplanes and fly. We are flying the CRJ-200s to Northwest, which are 50-seaters. But as we went along, because the stage lengths, you find that your incurred expenses become bigger because, you know, it's a very short distance for the CRJ-200 to handle. But then we entered into an agreement with a charter company that is flying Embraer 120s, the 30-seater aeroplane. So that's the aircraft that we, since last year, we started using on that route. And the reliability has been good last year. But because of our aeroplanes going down more often than not, one of the Embraers, because we had two Embraer 120s, one of the Embraers, we took it out of that route and said, let's service the Joburg Devon route. So, you know, you end up using the aeroplane for other routes so that you can meet your schedule. So just to go back to the bill story, your bought ticket, you become our creditor as such, so we have the obligation to meet that obligation to carry. But where the airline, this is another, which is not really a big cost, where we cannot carry a passenger, we ask other airlines in the same route to help with the passengers, and then we have special agreements between airlines where we say if the price is 1,000 and your passenger bought a ticket at 3,000, we will only pay you 1,000 as an airline that is helping us. But those are agreements that are made between airlines that is worldwide. Yeah, sure, please.
Can you a little bit make it a little bit faster? Because you have to.
All right.
Have to close the meeting at once.
Okay. These are called special protection agreements. Okay. They protect both airlines. If, say, me as an airline, I guess for lack of better words, the interests of the passenger are taken care of, you bought a ticket for 3,000 knowing, yes, I'm going to fly this route at 3,000. The contract of carriage has been delivered to yourself as a passenger. As to what the airlines do in the background doesn't really have anything to do with the passenger. So these agreements are protecting the airlines themselves. If you bought a 3,000 rand ticket from SAA and I carry you when we agreed at 1,000 rand, I cannot be seen to be giving SAA 2,000 rand that we, you know, that's how it goes. Thanks.
Just a quick one. I wanted to add on the subsidy from Northwest. The subsidy is helping with making sure that the losses that we incur on that route, because it's a new route, the number of passengers on that route is not sufficient for us to break even or make money on it. So we get the subsidy from Northwest, which really assists the airline. But however, with the rest of the airline, it still has challenges with the aircraft availability and the aircraft reliability. So even though we're getting that subsidy, the rest of the airline is not performing where it should be. So that is why, even in addition to the subsidy, we still need a recapitalization of the airline for it to be sustainable. Okay. Maybe I can then go on to the next one on the consequence management, which we've been talking about from 2014-15, and nothing seems to be changing. We are taking action against the managers that we find wanting in the airline, and that is why you see that a number of executives have since left the airline. At the moment, we have about 11 executives in Exco who are acting out of 13. That is because most of the managers, when they see that action is being taken, then they just resign. But we are not stopping there. We still continue with the investigation. And as was suggested, we'll come back to the portfolio committee to give a report on how the action that has been taken against the managers that have been found wanting.
Sorry, the assurance that will the airline be profitable, just in the honourable member's words, the return on investment, will it be realised? I think the airline will be able to return to profitability. What the whole plan is about this recapitalization is that once you've got the funds, you are going to get people who are trained in those jobs, because to my colleague's comment that you have quite a number of people acting in the positions. In technical alone, we have about 41 vacancies within technical. So that cannot really be a very good sign, because what happens with a technician that is not certified to release the aircraft? You have maybe one technician who will oversee all the maintenance work that is done, because the pilot will never fly an aeroplane that is released by a person who's not certified, because they have to collaborate to say these are the things that we see, here's a snag, and because the pilots also check before they fly. So those vacancies, once they are filled, then one can have, or the airline will have the assurance that we will have our aeroplanes maintained as and when needed, and we will not be grounding aeroplanes mainly as a result of a Greece supplier not being paid, which is a very, very minute amount of money that you can owe to a supplier, or you get grounded because the aeroplane doesn't have a nose gear tires. So to the return on investment, the injection will ensure that we get the skilled employees in the positions, will ensure that maintenance is done as frequent as possible, and ordinarily when an aeroplane is in C-check is like a major service of an aeroplane. So industry standards is that the aeroplane should be in sea check for 3 weeks. But if you don't have the liquidity to buy spares and to get that aeroplane out, you end up having one going down and you think, I've got the nose landing gear tires that I can take from that one that is in sea check and give it to the AOG aircraft. So, you know, it's called in the industry terms robbing of spares. It's an industry norm. But the level at which we do it is clear indication of our hands being tight and not trying to get the AOG aeroplanes out there to meet with the schedule and trying to reduce on the charters. So if you look at the previous year, then the charters were about 256. This 256 or 96. This year we've reduced that number to about 196. So that there's a plan to reduce the charters as well. But these are mutually inclusive, whereby you cannot do one and leave the one out. Okay.
On the return on investment, one of the things that the shareholder has asked us as well is the same question, to say, can you demonstrate that once we recapitalize, then you'll be able to run on your own and not be able to come back within a few years asking for more money? So we've done those numbers, at least from the financial point of view. We have demonstrated that should we get the funding that is required, we'll be able to be sustainable over a long period of time. And also showing the other benefits that the airline is doing from a developmental point of view, we are able to start new routes that other airlines don't consider because they don't see money in it, but we do develop those routes as part of our mandate. And then the other airlines then come in and operate with us, compete with us, and sometimes we even leave and they take over those routes. So without the airline, the SAS Express, then none of the other airlines that are not in government who consider those routes. So we have demonstrated that to the shareholder, that we'll continue to train the pilots to make sure that we transform the industry. And that is something that the private sector does not consider. So in terms of return of investments, as our basis for asking for recapitalization, we've demonstrated what we would do should we be recapitalized. And then the question of the closing of aren't we getting close to the way the guarantees will be cashed in? That is a risk that we face. Should we not be recapitalized, but we continue operating where the revenue that we're generating is not sufficient to cover our costs, then we get closer to a situation where the guarantees will be called back, because we'll reach a point where we'll not be able to pay back those loans, and then the banks will then ask government to pay the money. So that is the risk that we continue to face should we not be recapitalized. And then on the issue of profitability of the routes, most of the routes that we're operating are not profitable because of the inefficiencies that we face. A lot of flights that are cancelled, when we cancel, then we have to put the passengers into hotels. We have to put the passengers on other airlines. So when you add all that, then it becomes difficult to be profitable. But should the airline be recapitalized, should the airline fix the aircraft, get the required aircraft that is reliable, then we should be able to start seeing profitability on the routes. So until that is done, then most of the routes will not be profitable.
The Umtata route, we did some investigations, and there was a project that would fly from Joburg to Umtata. But I think at the verge of putting in the flights to Umtata, CAA came up with the issue of the runway, saying it was too short, something like that. I don't know if from the department. There was an issue with CAA, so we abandoned that project. But it was there. We went and we did test flights, but CAA spoke about the route and some safety issues within the airport itself, not with the airline. So we will revisit that and engage CAA in that regard. On the question of route profitability also, I think what I need to address is that we will share the route profitability with the committee, because we've got all those numbers, so that the committee can see for itself which routes are profitable, and we will explain exactly how we allocate costs, how we allocate variable costs are quite simple to allocate. We will tell you how we allocate the fixed overheads onto the route. Then we will share that with the committee, if the committee allows that. And then the measure of airlines. I think this is what the minister spoke about yesterday, and he's quite upbeat about that. I'll let our colleagues from the department to address that, but we have projects that are going on between ourselves and FAA, which is and the department called the Optimum Structure Group. So we work closely with FAA to do that. But in the interim, what we are saying is the low-hanging fruit, we cannot treat this as events. We treat this as a process where we see something can be achieved by implementing something. Then we implement that so that we can see the fruit or the benefit from the whole optimum structure. Also, I think one of the things that we'll share with the portfolio committee is the technical report in terms of, I know the honorable member spoke about the toilets that are not clean. That this is the issue that the flight operations and technical needs to take up with the ground handlers, because we are not really abdicating our responsibility. We have engaged with the ground handler to say, you clean our aircraft, you load food onto our aircraft, you do all sorts of things that the ground handler needs to do. But the penalties that will encourage the ground handler to do the right thing, if we don't invoke those penalties, then they are not going to do it. So the technical department, flight operations and procurement contract management has started, actually, because I think there was a complaint from time, I think about 3 weeks, if not a month ago, about the toilets. So that will be addressed. Also, the maintenance of the routes that are profitable and those that are not, and opening new routes, that will be a project that will be shared with the department and the portfolio committee. And then the challenge with the routes, as my colleague has alluded to, the point that you may have a route that is profitable at the variable cost level, but when you come to fixed cost, because you have an aeroplane that the costs are allocated that is on the ground, then the route appears not to be profitable. So those are the things that we'll share with the portfolio committee. In as far as the aircraft that we continue to maintain and fix, those are covered by the agreements that we've entered into with the lessors. And the good thing is that come 1st January 2019, the accounting standard change that you have to treat leased assets as part of your assets. So that will strengthen the balance sheet in terms of assets. And then we will be just, you don't put the expenses in the income statement, or you do it like you've bought an asset and then you pay the capital cost and interest. So that it's going to be forced on all companies to treat leased assets as their own, put them in the balance sheet. you want to.
Was raised, I wanted to go back onto operating only the aircraft that we have that are operating, and then wait until funding comes through. The challenge is that at the moment we have only about 8, 9, or 10 aircraft on a particular day that we're able to operate reliably, whereas we've got a fleet of 22, and then we have to pay leases on most of those and except for those four of the aircraft that we own. Now, the challenge is that if we reduce the schedule to operate only those aircraft that are running at the moment, then it means that we're not able to cover our cost of operation because of the other costs that we incur, fixed costs that we can't change. So that mode will mean that we'll continue bleeding, meaning that we're losing more cash than we are generating. And every time the money that is available then becomes more than we're not able to pay the suppliers, we're not able to pay for the spares. So the situation just gets worse. So the challenge is that we may end up in a situation where we're not even able to pay salaries if we continue for a longer period of time that we don't address the situation. So it's something that can be done maybe for a few, 2-3 weeks. But over time, then we are not able to continue operating. So it is a challenge that we have to then get a recapitalization to address the aircraft that is on the ground. And, okay, then there was another question on why the private sector is able to do well and not the state-owned airlines. Okay, it's a number of issues. Some of it internal, which still needs to be addressed, but other things, factors that need to be considered is that the state-owned airlines also carry a developmental mandate, which the private sector do not carry. Some of the things that we have to do, we can't move as quickly as possible compared to the private sector. The private sector, should they decide that they need aircraft right now, it's a quick decision, whereas with us, we need a PFMA, then it has to go to, in our case, it has to go to National Treasury, it has to go to the department, it's considered, once approved, that's when we can take an action. Whereas the private sector are able to change, should they decide today that they don't want to operate this route, they can change it. Whereas with us, we have to consult with all the role players before we can take a decision. So it's a bit of both. Some of we do admit that some of the things can be done better, but also being mindful that we also carry a developmental mandate, which also puts a burden. For example, if we have to buy aircraft, we still have to comply with the NIPP requirement, meaning that if we buy anything more than $10 million outside the country, then the supplier has to comply with the NIP obligation, which means that they have to use up at least 30% of the cost to carry out development objectives in the country, which is not the case with the private sector. So all those things does put us not on a level playing field.
Yes, sorry. Can I just follow up on this? I've got another meeting to go to Finance Parliament. Yeah, if you allow me.
Yeah,
thank you. Just on this developmental mandate, you see, as a committee, we need this to be unpacked. We can all hide behind screens and say this government, we know this government has a developmental mandate, right? But this government also has responsibilities to its taxpayers. Now, for the next meeting, if we can unpack what is a developmental mandate, I mean, quantify it for us so we can see whether the developmental mandate is being met or not and whether we need to continue in that vein while losing money. So if we can have that for the next meeting, Chair.
Some of them were comments for you to note.
Okay.
So only respond to questions.
Okay.
At the end, yourself generally you noted
okay.
The comments.
I know one of the members raise the question about the flights Bloemfontein to Cape Town not being in the system. With the challenge that we are facing of unreliable flights, we took a decision to say we have a 14+1 schedule, but on a given day, you more or less have about 11, 12 aeroplanes. Okay. Now, the company took a decision to say, let's rather reduce the schedule so that we can be in a position to carry the passengers from point A to B. But now, I'll try to explain this how it works. You have passengers that have already booked the flight, okay, that you have an obligation to carry. But on the day of the flight, the aeroplane is not there because it has been removed from the schedule. Now, because this happens or happened days or weeks ahead of the date of the flight, so you may have bought this in January, but we reduced the schedule in February. Come March, the aeroplane is not there. So I think that there has been the communication challenge from our side to say to travel agents and the passengers, this is what we have as a challenge. We have reduced the schedule. Your flight is not going to be happening on the day. But for those passengers from our customer service department, we do try to call them and say the flight has been cancelled. You'll be reaccommodated on this airline. So it's just the reduction in schedule that gives challenges to our customers. And I think one of the concerns that the member raised about Rand Merchant Bank, I think the concern that you raise is genuine, but what Rand Merchant Bank does, I don't think that they will be in a position to say we're going to, in inverted commas, hijack the company swiftly and own it. The interest that Rand Merchant Bank has in the airline, the level of exposure they have, they've given us an overdraft of 116 million, which is covered by the guarantee anyway, and then there's a guarantee of 123 million that covers the 10 aeroplanes, the 9 aeroplanes that they lease to us, because there's no maintenance reserve, so it's covered just by the guarantee. But that guarantee is not going to do maintenance on the aeroplanes. It's just to hedge their risk. And then number three, their interest is to say, we are a leasing company. Let's help you fix our aeroplanes. Should we find another lessee, when the contract comes to an end, it's either you renew or we lease this aeroplane to another, to somebody. So that's where their interest is. Hence, you know, they said with the engines that are fixed, we will assist and then we will negotiate how you settle it. So that's just trying to allay your fears, man. I want to believe that we've addressed all the questions, and if we haven't, please just shout.
It's going to be covered by the acting DTG, some of the questions.
All right.
And some of them worth noting because they were comments.
Yeah.
Acting DTG.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Indeed, we've noted quite a number of points from honourable members. And it would be just a way of just indicating some of the key actions that we've also noted that the committee wants us to come and bring further details on. But in the main, I think there are at least three critical questions that I just need to quickly just run through, and also just to make sure that we clarify it. What brought us where SA Express is today, which is the question which I feel we didn't actually respond to, it is governance challenges. We allowed the entities to operate on their own without really holding the boards, the executives, accountable to the actions that they are taking. As a result, even if they caught wanting or they caught in any form of fraud, misconduct or corruption, no action that was very effective that was taken other than just being suspended and the person runs away with some money. That it's not allowed. And hence, in the minister's speech yesterday, we are looking at how do we really do we get to strengthen the governance issues that even if you resign, it doesn't mean that you get away with everything that you've taken. The government needs to recover all the monies that these executives or board members that had vested interest, how are we really going to recover those? That's what we're working on now. So what brought us here, it is in the main the governance lapses that we allow to continue far too long. As a result, those directors and those executives are still playing a role in one or other state-owned companies elsewhere, which is something that we really need to look into, that I can't mess up in this one entity and be appointed elsewhere and still continue with recklessly taking decisions that harm the state. That is not in any way supporting the developmental state. And I know the Honorable Member asked, what is this developmental state? And in brief, we'll get to the details of it, but it is in no way supporting that we must continue putting money and people taking that money away. A level of accountability needs to come. In the statement of strategic intent that the shareholder issues to this company, we state very clear why we own the company. And there is no way in that SSI where we say executives are allowed to loot these entities and bring them to their knees. That is not acceptable. So we'll get to really define what is the developmental role of South African Express when we come, so that we really see, are we really achieving it? And due to the fact that this entity was not recapitalized adequately or at all, it brought us to a point whereby we keep on robbing the other airline to get the other one fly, which is what my colleagues have been explaining. But we are not going to resolve this if we don't address the issue of recapitalization in this entity. If it continues like this, we're simply risking, because as my colleagues have indicated, we can't even finalize our financials because this company does not have money. It is in distress. So the biggest thing is we really need to resolve this thing so that the company can then operate efficiently, which is one of the pillars that we're working on. Efficiently means SA Express, don't do what is not your core. Stop doing gardens. Stop doing flowers. All you are here for is to fly, and you have to fly and meet the needs of the passengers that we have. So get back to the basics and we do things right. Honorable members, without wasting your time, as I've indicated, the areas that we're focusing on, I've noted the request that the committee wants the department to come here with the SOCs, particularly the chairperson and the chairperson of the subcommittee of audit and risk, to basically give the account, to say when this airline was going through all these challenges from 2014, 2015, when you appointed to date, what actions did you take and why did you not finalize the forensic investigations that are pending forever and ever? And I can assure the House that the Minister, since he came to the department, he has requested all forensic investigations that are currently underway with the intention of finalizing them so that we really get to recover the monies that have been looted from these entities. Chairperson, I am convinced that the department, through the leadership of the minister, actually, and also taking from what the president had said in the State of the Nation address, that we really need to strengthen the effectiveness of the governance within our state-owned companies. That is the action that we currently have. The minister has already intervened in a number of SOCs, and I believe South African Express will be one of those that we look at how best do we strengthen the board and ensure that we don't have these acting CEOs that come today. In 2 weeks, you don't have a CEO, there is no accountability. We really need to bring stability in all these entities, and that is what Minister's plan currently looking at, to say how best we then stabilize all these entities. And in my closing one is to say, as the committee gives us guidance as to when do we really need to come. We've taken notes of the issues that you've raised, and particularly to get to the developmental mandate to say, bring this developmental mandate to see. And if the committee wishes, we as the department, we can then put it up there to say, in all the portfolio, in the portfolio of DPE with the six SOCs we have, these are their developmental mandates, so that as they come through, then you are able to see and check whether are they achieving their developmental mandate or they are keeping on losing or looting the state assets or resources going forward. So, Chairperson, we thank you for the opportunity, really, for giving us fair and very truthful reflections of how you see SA Express operating. We're taking these comments, we'll share them with the Minister to ensure that the Minister communicates with the committee as well in the other actions that is undertaking going forward in stabilizing state-owned entities. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. The only one part that you did not cover, you requested a support on the bailout, and you did not mention them. And I don't want to be like Honorable Ranto and say one million. I must have a figure.
Chairperson, thank you. Truthfully, we looked at the financial model that the company has presented to the department requesting funding, which is quite critical. They've been back and forth because what they're bringing us, they've given us a number of scenarios that we can consider in recapitalizing them. So I believe that is the discussion where the chief executive and the chairperson are engaging the minister that we've looked into the figures. This is the amount that we want. At the top of my head currently, I'll be misleading the committee if I put a figure, but I believe that after that meeting, then we'll be able to communicate the correct figure to the chairperson of the committee.
That's fair. We note that. I was tempted to give you 14 days to come back to us with a report, but having listened to the 18 DDG that the minister has called for those report on forensic investigation from all entities. By the way, you are not the only one that is supposed to come and give the committee on such reports. The transcript is coming back on the 30th of May. And I'm aware that the minister has requested the portfolio committee to give him 6 weeks from last week, Wednesday. But he has indicated to the chairperson that with SAF, our guest, South African Airways, Mr. Singh, SAF, is going to require about 2 months. And with that, I think the minister is lucky, FCCG, because we are going on a constituency period, including recess, and the parliament is rising on the 15th of June. So his 2 months will be May, June, will be mid-July. So members, honorable members, I'm tempted to allow the minister, especially on these cases of disciplinary processes and forensic investigations. I think it's safe to say that because we've received that there are disciplinary processes that are taking place, and there are these sort of civil and criminal charges that are being taken. Can we wait until we come back from recess to get that, so that we allow not yourself, the minister, to give us a report that has been seen by himself? Can we live with that, members? Yes, and I get the support. Any control of you?
Chairperson, if we have to get special permission to sit from mid-July, then we must sit, because committees will start early. There won't be plenaries, but we must, by mid-July, whenever the minister is ready to report to us, I think he must report to us rather than reporting to the South African public, because we need to know, as members of this committee, what is happening.
Okay. of course, with the agency. With the agency of the matters at hand, please convey to the minister that by mid-July we can request to the House chairperson to meet as a committee, as committees through permission they are allowed to do so, to come to us and take us on board on such a matter. Thank you very much, CFO and the delegation, for being honest and frank when you elaborated on the presentation and in responding to us. That's what we require, because with that we are able to assist and guide you and also talk to the minister about what you have put to us on the table. If you hide things under the table, it doesn't assist you and it won't get you anywhere. It is not going to prevent the airline from having a serious eye from us and the minister. So the best things way is you put everything on the table and we have a discussion and see how can we intervene. And with those words, thank you very much. And the committee, thank you very much for the member, from the members and our guests. And I think now there's no announcement. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.